Take your Bibles in hand now, please, and let's turn to the passage of God's Word that we read, Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, and perhaps it is that already you know the words that we're going to consider this Thanksgiving Sunday, but 1 Thessalonians 5 and the words that we find in verse 18. Let's read from verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, if it is that this week anybody was to ask you when it was that the first celebration of Thanksgiving in Canada took place, I wonder how many of us would be able to give an answer. Well, the truth is, there's a number of answers that we can give. Let me go through them by way of introduction. According to some of the historians, it is that the first celebration of Thanksgiving in North America occurred during the 1578 voyage of Martin Frobisher from England, and it is that he was in search of the Northwest Passage. His third voyage to Frobisher Bay area of Baffin Island in the present Canadian territory of Nunavut, it is that he set out with the intention of establishing a small settlement. He set out with 15 ships. These ships were outfitted with men, materials, provisions. It was an expedition that was plagued by freak storms, ice and so on, and the fleet was scattered. But eventually the fleet was able to reassemble at their anchorage in Frobisher Bay. And amongst the crew was an Anglican clergyman of the name Robert Woolfall. And it seems that he served as the chaplain to this third expedition to the Arctic. And from the ship's log, this is what we find concerning this pastor. Maester Woolfall, a learned man appointed by Her Majesty's Council to be their minister and preacher, made unto them a godly sermon, exhorting them especially to be thankful to God for their strange and miraculous deliverance in those so dangerous places. Thereafter, they celebrated communion, and I quote, this is what was written. The celebration of divine mystery was the first sign, scale, and confirmation of Christ's name, death, and passion ever known in all these quarters. Then it is that the first Thanksgiving Day after Confederation was observed as a civic holiday on April 5th, 1872, and that took place to celebrate the recovery of the Prince of Wales, that was King Edward VII, from a serious illness. And it wasn't until 1879 that Thanksgiving was declared in Canada a national holiday. And then in 1957, it was the case that a parliament fixed Thanksgiving as the second Monday in October. And on the basis of that, this is what parliament officially declared in 1957. And it lets us perhaps see just the change within Canadian society since 1957. This was what was written, and I quote, that Thanksgiving is a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. Now, the sad part about this is that this Thanksgiving weekend, that there will be countless thousands who will gather together as family and friends and loved ones, and it is that they'll sit at tables that are absolutely creaking under the weight of the food that's upon the tables, and yet it is that there will be no thanksgiving. It is that there will be no thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which it is that Canada has been blessed. That from the days of Frobisher, even up until today, it is that we know that there's been a turning away from a recognition that everything that we have, everything that we do, is in the basis of what God bestows upon us. And because of that, it is that we are called to be a people of thanksgiving. It is that there will be no thanksgiving offered to either Creator and to God for the provision that He makes for our bodily needs. Yet as Paul writes this first letter to the Thessalonians 2,000 years ago, he reminds them that part of God's will for His people in all ages and at all times is that the thing that should characterize them is that they be a people who give thanks to God. And that's why it's good for us to consider what he writes here in verse 18 today. Paul simply says very directly, in everything give thanks. In other words, there's to be no exceptions, there's to be no excuses. Nothing is outside the parameters or the calling as a person of Christ, but to be found in the attitude of thanksgiving to Almighty God. And so with everything in life, and everything that comes about in our life, no matter what it may be, without the obvious exception in terms of personal sin, no matter your lot, no matter your circumstances, chance, no matter what trouble or trial it is that you're experiencing, no matter the perplexity that God's providence is bringing about in your life, it is that you're called to find reason, you're given ample reason in Christ to be found in the place and the posture of thanksgiving. You see, we need to remember that thanksgiving is the essence of Christian living and attitude. And the reason that we need to remember that is because Paul tells us in Romans 1 that being unthankful of heart and mind and spirit is the very essence of the unregenerate heart. That being thankless and unthankful to God is what characterizes men and women outside of Christ on an ongoing basis. Listen to what it is that Paul says concerning the ungodly in Romans 1 and verse 21. He says, they knew God through their conscience, through the creation. It is that God was visibly manifest to them. It is that he was experientially manifest to them in terms of their conscience. And it is that he then goes on to say, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. And there is a biblical indictment on the unregenerate man or woman, the non-Christian, that God who created everything, God who sustains them, God who provides for them, God who protects them and takes care of them, God who gives them the standard of right and wrong and gives them every good and perfect gift, that he alone is the one and the only one to whom all thanks is to be rendered, and it is the lot and character of those who are unregenerate and who turn their backs upon Almighty God that it is that they do not give God thanks for all that he has provided for them. It is that they may, like parrots, utter phrases like, we thank God for that. Or it is that they may, in some quasi-religious activity or some prayer of thanks to a God that they do not know and a God who does not know them, but such does not qualify as true biblical thanksgiving. And why is that the case? Well, one thing is, I think, that so many people today look on life as and their life and the way in which it is that life falls out for them, they look on it solely as a matter of luck. They think that life is just a matter of fortuitous events that come together over which they nor anything else has any control whatsoever, and it is that their life just happens to be the way that it is. Doesn't happen the way perhaps it is that it ought to happen or they hoped it would happen, and on that basis they become bitter and complaining and angry. And though they may try and manipulate in so many ways the lucky factors of life, they are totally unsuccessful, and on that basis they end up having no thankfulness at all to their Creator, to God. As far as they're concerned, who exactly is there to thank? It is that this life, as far as they're concerned, is just a matter of luck. But the thing is, you can't thank luck. Luck doesn't even have control over itself. And so for that basis, there is no thanksgiving that comes forth from their being. And so what little good may come to them, they attribute it to luck. But then the next thing is that there are those who are fatalists. They don't necessarily think that luck is in charge, but they think that there is some inexorable force out there. All of us who watch and enjoy Star Wars, we know that phrase, may the force be with you. And that's the sort of mindset that so many have today, that it is that there is some inexorable force there, and if it is that the force decides to be positive in your life, then it is that your life will be good. But if it is that the force is negative in your life, then no matter what you may say or do, it is that your life will end up in the way that the force decides. And any other things that happen in their life, it is that they come to the point where they're fatalistic, even reluctantly accept that which is utterly unavoidable and unchangeable. And therefore it is that that's their destiny, and on that basis they will not argue with it. Who's to thank for whatever good comes in their life? If it's a nameless force, there's no one to thank. If it's a nameless force, there's no one to come to in praise and thanksgiving, no one to thank for anything good or bad. So you've got luck, you've got fatalism. And then the third category of people who don't give thanks to God, what characterizes them is that they're autonomous. What I mean is they're self-governing. And they're usually the positive thinkers amongst us. We've all met people like that. And no matter what happens in life, they're so, so positive about all things. And it happens almost always to be the case that they're usually successful. And while it is that they're successful, they're not perhaps sure at first why they were successful, but then they begin to go down the road that they attribute their success to their own skill, and on that basis, everything good that happens to them is on the basis of the talents that are theirs. They've done it. They've arranged it. They've orchestrated it. They've made it happen. They've dreamed it. They've schemed it. They've planned it. They've pulled it off. And the bottom line is that all credit goes to them, and not a particle of credit goes to God. After all, what has God got to do with anything? And that's what so many say today. And the world is made up of these kinds of thankless people. And then there's also those who themselves think that at the end of the day, who is God anyway to receive thanks? Because as far as they're concerned, either he doesn't exist, or if he does exist, then he's not a very powerful or good God because of the way it is that their lives have turned out. And with all the unregenerate, with men and women who give no thought to God or to the destiny of their souls, that's the basic character that you find. It may take different forms in terms of the three things that I've brought before you, but it is that they are, by character, unthankful. So what's the result in a person's life who's unthankful to God? One thing is, I think that thanklessness shrivels hearts. Thanklessness distorts perception, and thanklessness perverts understanding. How often you meet someone, and that's these three things characterize them. They never give anybody thanks, not even their nearest and dearest. And on that basis, they're almost curmudgeonly, because it is that they have not come to the point where they recognize that in many cases, the reason they are who they are, where they are, and why they are, is on the basis of what others have done for them. And so they don't give thanks. Is ingratitude not a sign of childishness? All of us who have grandchildren, is it the case that our grandchildren naturally will come to us or will say to us when we give them something, thank you? If yours does, then please let me know the secret. Because I haven't found that to be the case yet. It is that I've constantly got to be saying to my grandchildren, have you said thank you? And they look at me and eventually thank you. And no matter how many times recently I've been saying this to them, it is that you've got to keep saying to them, when someone gives you something, you have to say thank you to that person as well as please. And it's something that you have to inculcate in them. It doesn't come naturally. That's what you see in little children. The things that come naturally are the things that spring from a sinful heart. And one of the things is not to give thanks. So it is that if you don't give thanks to God, then basically you're a big baby. You really are. There are so many big babies who will be sitting at tables tomorrow, and it is not only will they be big babies, it will just be like the animals. Every day I put down a plate of food to Chica, and it is that I'm still waiting for Chica, before she eats her food, to look up at me and go, thank you. All she does is, when I put the plate of food down, is the face goes right into it. And she eats and eats and eats, and then as she brings her face up, we have to clean her face, because the food's everywhere, as well as going into her mouth. And in a sense, that's what unthankful people are like. Yeah, tomorrow they may have the finest of table manners and etiquette. Do you know there's such a thing as an etiquette coach? And it is that an etiquette coach will tell you not only what you eat, but how you eat it. They'll tell you what fork and spoon you should use at certain points and so on. And it is that there'll be people tomorrow and they'll be like that, the best of cutlery and crockery and everything else. But basically, they'll just be like Chica. The food goes and bang, they just start to eat without giving thanks to God. Is that the way with us? And it's also a sign of something worse than childishness. An unthankful heart is a sign of grave spiritual sickness. It really is. This is serious stuff. Some may say, well, this isn't great theology. I would beg to differ. Because the scripture tells us very clearly, God's will for you in Christ Jesus is that you would give thanks. And the temptation is that even we as Christians can become unthankful. And what I'm saying is that for a Christian to become to be unthankful is abnormal. That's what cuts across the grain of your new life, your new nature, your new person, the new I, the new you. And because of the fall, the sin of ingratitude, as it manifests itself, the New Testament repeatedly calls upon us to be a thankful people. The overarching principle is in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's the overarching principle and umbrella that covers every issue of life. No matter what happens, whether it be good or bad, it all falls under the umbrella of Romans 8:28, and it will be by God working together for your good and my good. The thing in itself may not be good. The scripture doesn't say otherwise. But what it is telling us is that God will take a bad thing. God will take a thing that's weighing your heart or your mind down, and he will turn it to his good purpose for your good and for our eternal glory. And if it is that you live believing that God is at work, sovereignly controlling every aspect of your life, all the contingencies of life, that it is that he's blending them all together for his praise and his glory, and it is that the goal is for your eternal good, then you can handle anything in life. You're saying you don't know what you're talking about, Alan. No, I don't. But that's what the scripture is saying. And sadly it is that so often there are parts of scripture that we just seem to cast aside at times. Because whatever it is that comes about in our lives, good or bad, as God's people, it fits in with God's ultimate plan for us as individuals, as a congregation, and whoever we might be. And think of the application of this. The very fact that everything is working together for good, you could be thankful for the pain. The pain, say, that you go through in surgery, if you know that there's going to be some healing that comes about at the end of it. You can be thankful for the difficulty it is that you go through in preparation, if you know that the product of that preparation is going to change life. And even you can be thankful for the process of pain, physical, mental, psychological, whatever it may be, if you know that in the end, that through that pain, it is that you will draw closer to God and seek his face and his favor. Think of the apostle, and as he writes to the Corinthians, and he says to them, three times I cried out to God. There was this thorn in my flesh, and I cried out to God to take it from me. And what was it that God said? No, Paul. It is that my grace is sufficient for you. And that's the way it is that God deals with us at times. There's a mystery to it. And am I speaking to somebody today and there's a thorn in your flesh and you've been crying out to God and for some reason God doesn't seem to be taking that thorn away? Well, look to the example of the apostle when it is that God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. And that's a great reason for thanksgiving today. The grace, the unmerited favor of God toward us in Jesus Christ. That even though it is that we may not be the movers and shakers of the world, even though it may be that maybe we're some of the poorest people on the face of the earth, maybe even though it may be that we've got illness of one sort or another, and it is that it's weighing us and our loved ones down so heavily, the great truth and glory is that in Christ and in Christ alone, you're one who is a recipient of the mercy and the grace of God, and he has promised you, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you, but I am with you always, even until the end of the age, even at your Thanksgiving table with the turkeys there and the trimmings around are there, family and loved ones are there. How good to know that Christ is there, and that Christ is there to bless, that he is the one who comes to us and promises us, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. Is there somebody today and you've been feeling forsaken by God in recent days? Let me challenge you then to ask yourselves, have I been found in the place and posture of thanksgiving? Am I constantly thanking God, even for that which the world would think there's no reason to give thanks for that? You see, the early church, what characterized it? Thanksgiving. You read of it, and they're constantly thanking God. And we live at a time where it's very difficult for us to rise above the creeping, encroaching, powerful culture that surrounds us. Because I think this has got to be one of the most thankless ages that there ever has been. Really. Thankless. On the one hand, you have people who have more than they've ever had. But on the other hand, you've also got people who know that there's more yet that they don't have. And so no matter what they have, they know that they don't have everything that they could have. And in the basis that they don't have everything that they want, it breeds a terrible kind of thanklessness. And so you've got all these injunctions scattered throughout the New Testament, calling us to be thankful. And why are they scattered throughout the New Testament? Because we need to be reminded again and again and again and again. You see, a spirit-filled believer is a normal believer, and as a normal believer who's spirit-filled, that believer is a thankful believer. That believer is a joyful believer. That believer is a praying believer. So many get screwed up in terms of trying to figure out what God's will is for them. But Paul puts through the Spirit, puts it very firmly and easily and simply here. He says, what is God's will for you? God's will is to rejoice always. And you say, you've got to be kidding, Paul. And there is Paul, and he's in the Roman prison cell. He's about to face imminent execution, and he's writing to the Philippians, and there's that golden thread of joy running through chapters 1 to 4. And what is it that Paul says time and time again? Rejoice always. And again I say to you, rejoice. Yeah, I'm facing death. Yeah, it is that I'm chained. Yeah, it is that I know that I don't have much time left in this world. But you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you to rejoice. That's God's will for you. Not only that, pray without ceasing. Wow. Are we doing that? That's God's will for us. To pray without ceasing. He's not meaning that you're constantly on your knees 24/7. That's just silly talk. But it is that what he's saying is that as we go through life and as we go through each day, that there ought to be a spirit of prayerfulness. That when it is that we see perhaps certain things, for instance, you take the dog out a walk, and it is that you see the beauty of the sky and the sun in the sky, and you just immediately, thank you, Lord, for the creation. Thank you for your power. Thank you that you've given me eyes to be able to see this. You hear the birds. Have you ever thanked God for the birds? Even the birds that Jesus says, not one sparrow falls to the ground except in accordance with the will of your Father in heaven. Have you never given God thanks for bird song? I think I've told you before, there's a tree at the back of my study window. And at certain points in the year, I've got a choir out there. And I deliberately open the window sometimes so they make sure the cat can't get out, make the space small enough. And it is that there's this constant bird song. And they're so beautiful to listen to. And you see them, the handiworks of God's hand. And you thank God for them. You thank God for the beauty of creation. You see your grandchild, whatever age they may be, and perhaps there's something that they say or do, and it evokes a spirit of thankfulness within you. But what about salvation? Shouldn't that be the root cause for thanksgiving? Daily, to be reminded of the fact that a sinner, though you and myself be, that if in Christ we are clothed in his righteousness, and it is that when the time comes that we must stand before the judgment seat of God, that we can do so clothed in that righteousness, and that God in Christ calls us friends. Imagine that. That God calls his people friends. He called Abram his friend. And all those who are in Christ are friends. Think of what Jesus himself says. He says, myself and my Father, what are we going to do? We'll come to your home. And it is that we'll make our home with you. If tomorrow at the Thanksgiving table, you love the Lord, how wonderful it is to know that as well as your family and loved ones and friends, that it is that the Lord is there with you. And it is that whatever's on the table is of his bounty towards you. The ability to buy the food, even the tastes themselves. Have you ever given God thanks for your taste buds? I mean, think on it. God could have made us so, and I think I've said this years ago, but God could have made us so that our food tasted like cardboard. But he didn't. He gave us taste buds. Why? So that we might taste the beautiful tastes in the food that he's given to us. Is that not a cause for thanksgiving? I think I've told you before, but it's a good example, so I'm going to use it again. I remember when I was about 10 years old in the UK, and there used to be a program in the UK, and I didn't realize at the time it was Canadian. And it was the chap, Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet. And I can still remember that at the end of whatever it was that he had made, he would invite somebody down from the audience to taste what he had made. And I can remember some of the noises that he would make when he was tasting the food and just talking about the heavenly tastes. Man, now we laugh. But maybe that's the problem. We've lost sight of how something like this is such a blessing from God Almighty, that he gives us taste buds and he gives us beautiful foods and flavors to taste. Why? Because he's that type of God. He wants us to enjoy all things richly, even the very food that we eat. Tomorrow, when you taste some wonderful food, thank God for it. Thank God for the way he's made us. Even when we were singing our last psalm, and I looked, and I knew who it was, but the tune was written by Mozart. What a beautiful melody it was, wasn't it? Da 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 da. That's quite beautiful. And it is that God gave that individual the gift and the talent to write music that stands the test of time, and you're able to cry out to God and say, Lord, thank you for the gift of music. Thank you that you have raised up individuals and you have gifted them in such a way that the music that they've written has been such a blessing to so many over so many periods of time. How often, perhaps, if you've been cast down in your spirit, and this is biblical, how often when you've been cast down in your spirit, it is that you've put on perhaps a certain piece of music, and as the music is playing, perhaps the words being sung, it is that you feel the heavy mood beginning to lift. I remember reading Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones that very often in the morning, and he said that he found prayer difficult in the morning. And you can scarce believe that, a man who was blessed so mightily by God. And he said that often what he would do in the morning in his study would be to put certain a pieces of music on. Because it is that they would lift his spirit. You say, well, that doesn't sound very biblical. Think of King Saul. When he was cast down in spirit, what did he call for? He called for the sweet psalmist of Israel to come into his presence and to play his harp and no doubt even sing as well. and it lifted his spirit. Is that not a reason for thanksgiving? Even music that God can bless to us? The words that we sing in our psalms causes for thanksgiving. How often when you sing the psalms and you say to yourself, wow, that's exactly how I feel. Why are you cast down, O my soul? The psalmist is talking to himself. Still trust in God, for I shall yet praise him. Give God thanks for words like that. Give God thanks for words like, cast me not from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Give God thanks for words like that that you are able to use when you've fallen into sin. And that's why Paul is saying here, giving thanks in all circumstances, not just the good circumstances, but even the bad circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ. I hope tomorrow you have a lovely day with family and friends and loved ones. I hope you've got some beautiful food before you that someone has lovingly cooked for you and for loved ones and friends. And I hope that at some point during the day that you will know of God's will being executed in your life when it is that you give him thanks in all circumstances. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that we have to confess that so often we are thankless. So often it is that what you give us, even the very breath of life itself, we take these things for granted. And that should not be. Every moment, every day when we waken up, when it is that we know that there's a new day ahead of us, that is a cause for thanksgiving. Even the very fact, Lord, that we can physically get up out of our beds is a cause for thanksgiving. There are countless people throughout the world today, and oh, how they would love to be able to rise by themselves out of their beds. But for one reason or another, they're not able to do so. And we just so merrily get out of bed so often and just don't give you thanks. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways in which it is that we seem to be a thankless people so often. And maybe even from this day onwards, that you would burn these words upon us. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Hear us now, and forgive sin. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.